This is an incredible time in your life and in my life. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Lion King? Anybody seen it? Everybody's seen The Lion King, right? What is the lion known as? Simba. But what is the title of a lion? King of the Jungle. He's the baddest, meanest, most ferocious animal in all the jungle, right? There's no doubt about that. He's known as that. I heard a story about a young lion. This young lion was beginning to try to figure out exactly where he needed to get in life. And so he asked himself this question. I wonder if everyone knows what I have been told. I have been told that I am the king of the jungle. I wonder if everybody in the jungle knows that I'm the king of the jungle. And so the lion decided that he would do what you and I would do. He would ask a few folks that question. And let me ask you something tonight, guys. I need you to stay with me for about 30 minutes. I'm just crazy as a Betsy bug. And here's what I'll do to you if I catch you sleeping. I won't say nothing to you. I'm just going to ease down off this platform, waddle my big old fat self right back there where you're at, and I'm going to kiss you right square in the mouth. Now, if you don't want that to happen, you better stay with me for about 30 minutes. That's all I need. The lion is on a pilgrimage. The lion is taking off on a journey. And guys, you have started a journey here. This is the first piece of the puzzle that's going to transpire in your life. And so I want you to understand that lion, as he takes off, he starts to make his way through the jungle. And as he's coming through the jungle, he comes up on a herd of zebra. And he sees a zebra out grazing in the meadow. And he says, I wonder if those zebra know that I am the king of the jungle. And so he hollers at the zebra. He says, hey, zebra. Oh, zebra throws his head up. Who's the baddest, meanest, most ferocious animal in all these jungles, known as the lion? And he roars. He says, arr. A zebra says, oh, you are, old lion. That's not bad. Answer one, correct. He walks on, and he feels pretty good about himself. He thinks, man, it may be true. And he comes up on a pack of hyenas. And the hyenas are just scavenging over a carcass that has been left on the side. And they're mauling what's been left. And he looks at that group of hyenas. And he says, I wonder if they know who the baddest, meanest, most ferocious animal in all this jungle is. And so he says, hey, hyenas. They throw their head up. They look at that old lion. He says, who's the baddest, meanest animal in all these jungles? And he roars, roar. The hyenas say, ah, you are, old lion. Man, he feels pretty good about who he thinks he is. And he's moving along. He comes to a giraffe, and he looks at that giraffe, and that giraffe is almost 3 stories tall. I mean, that thing is up in the air. He sees that giraffe's head, and it's up in the top of the trees. And as it's up in the top of the trees, it's grazing from the tops of the trees. He's thinking, I wonder if that tall, lanky, skinny thing way up there in the air knows who the baddest animal in all these jungles are. And he hollers at the giraffe, hey, giraffe. You see, he's getting a little confidence about him. He says, do you know who the meanest, baddest animal in all these jungles are? And he roars, roar. That old giraffe throws his head up, looks down. Why, ah, you are, old lion. Man, he feels good about who he thinks he is. He's moving on through the jungle. By now, guys, his mane is poofed up. By now, guys, his tail is whooped up over his back. By now, guys, he is walking with a good strut about himself. He sees a monkey swinging on a vine. Old monkey's going back and forth and back and forth. And he says, hey, monkey. Old monkey says, "Hurt!" Just hangs right there. Looks down. Sees the lion. Lion says, who's the baddest, meanest animal in all these jungles known as the lion? And he roars, roar. That old monkey says, oh, you are, old lion. He continues along and he comes up on a stream and water's just flowing and he sees a 2-ton pachyderm right in the middle of that stream taking a bath, an elephant. Grabbing his old snout, throwing water all over him. And he sizes that thing up and he says, you reckon that thing knows that I'm the baddest animal in all these jungles? And he decides, you know, I'm going to have to get eyeball to that thing. I don't want it to mess up. I don't want to mess up myself. He crawls up on the rock right on the side of the bank. And he looks at that elephant, just eyeball to eyeball. And he says, And he's already decided, you know, he's really going to have to really, he's got to impress that elephant. Who's the baddest, meanest animal in all these jungles, elephant? He begins to roar. Roar, 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 roar. I want you to know how the elephant just took his old snout, reached up and wrapped it around that lion's neck, picked him up, throwed him across the creek right over into a base of a tree stump. That old lion's quivering and shaking. The elephant makes his way over and grabs him again, picks him up, across the other side of the creek. There's a big old rock. Throws him, put right up against that rock. By now the lion is thinking this thing's gone mad. He's crazy. He don't know what's going on around him. And that elephant's trying to make his way. And that elephant reaches and grabs him. And there's the lion. And the lion's just dangling. And you can see his old tail flopping. And guys, he takes that lion and he just right out in the middle of that creek. He says, water goes everywhere. That cold, invigorating water helped that lion come to his senses. And he says, I got to get away from this thing. This thing's gone bad. And he crawls away and he runs and he gets up on the hill, way away from that old elephant. Now that elephant's looking at him down there in that creek. That old lion just hollers at him and says, hey, you didn't have to get so mad because you didn't know the answer to the question I asked you. I want you to understand something, young people. When you and I came to this place, the first thing that hit our mind was, hey, you know what? I want to win a championship. I didn't come up here not to win a championship. This ESPN crew tonight, granted, it was kind of weak without music, but they done the best they could. They began to talk about some of you guys that had what? Performed to the best of your ability today, and some of you guys have come back up this hill undefeated. Not a blemish on your record. Undefeated champions. And when you and I begin to ask ourselves, man, what would it take for me to be a champion? We begin to fantasize for a second or two about this past year in NCAA history. And you could begin going down through the football teams and who won the national championship and basketball teams and who won the national championship and baseball and who won the national championship. And each one of you could just begin to grip yourself for a second or two and think about what that happened. A championship is incredible. I want you to understand, I can't promise you tonight that you're going to walk off this mountain and go back home and this fall go out on the gridiron and win a championship. I can't promise you tonight that you'll go off this mountain and go back home and go out on the basketball court and dribble up and down the basketball court and win a championship. But I'm telling you something tonight, young people. I can show you without a doubt in my mind how to win a championship in the game of life. And you and I have got to get a grip with that. The Bible is an incredible book. And if you have yours with you, pick it up right now. I want to see it. And tell me what's printed on the front of that. What does it say? God's game plan. It says God's game plan. Turn in your Bibles to page 935, guys. 935. And if you find that passage of Scripture, you'll find that that's Mark's Gospel. And in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, on page 935, I want you to look at it with me for just a few moments. An incredible passage that indicates to us what it will take for us to be a champion. Now, guys, when I read this text, you're going to think, huh? What are you talking about? Huh? How can that happen? Because the story is about an individual that not a single one of you would have ever chosen that would demonstrate how to be a champion. Nobody in here would have picked him to be on their tag football team on Sunday afternoon. Nobody in here would pick him to play sandlot baseball with you. He would have wound up on your team by default. Because as you see, when you look at this guy's life, you see that there's some physical deficiencies that you think right now would hinder him from being a champion. I want you to understand something. You have an enemy, guys, and it's not those kids that you go up against on Friday nights and Saturday nights and those guys and gals, the guys that you run up against during the week. You have an enemy every single morning when you get out of bed that has already plotted, planned, and prepared to kick your butt. Satan wants to destroy you. He don't want you to win in the game of life.
He wants you to have failed families. He wants you to have failed lives. He wants you to have a failed career. He don't want you to somehow or another come about as being a champion. I want you to know tonight, I want you to become champions in the game of life. And the Bible gives us an incredible description about how to become a champion. As you look at this with me, if you'll run your finger down to verse number 46, guys, 10th chapter of the book of Mark, verse number 46, it should be almost at the bottom of your page. I want you to look at that passage and look what it says. And this translation is a little bit different from yours. You just follow along and we're going to get back to verse number 46, but we'll finish at 52. Here's what God's word says. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But his friends, his buddies, many of them rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But you know what he did? He shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard him calling, stopped. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Verse number 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus said, what in the world you don't want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I simply want to see. I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you immediately. He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Now, Father, I pray that somehow in the midst of all these young folks, the diversity, the tiredness, the weariness, the worn outness, and all that they are experiencing right now, that they would defeat Satan and they would just sit up and stay straight and they would listen clearly for about the next 6 or 7 minutes and hear an incredible prescription, the game plan for how to win a championship in the game of life. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Your coaches have asked you to do something this offseason. They've asked you to prepare for the regular season. They've wanted you to willingly give of yourself. Willingly give of yourself. They've asked you to go into the weight room and do what? Give all that you can and then give some more. They've asked you to do what out on the track? Run and then run some more. They've asked you to do what? Eat and eat right. They've asked you to give of yourself. And I want you to know if you're going to win a championship in the game of life, you've got to have some willingnesses in your life. I want you to see that Bartimaeus set as a supreme example about how an individual that nobody else thought could achieve anything, nobody else thought that could be anything, but he proved that he could be a champion in the game of life because, first of all, he had a willingness to look beyond his obstacles. Do you remember what we read in the very first verse? Somebody look at that first verse that we read there and tell me something about that verse in verse number 46. There's two deficiencies that you see in his life immediately. They are obstacles that will keep him from being a champion. What do we see about this man? What's wrong with him physically? He's blind. He can't see a lick, guys. He can't see anything with his eyes. But I want you to know something. He had his heart in tune. His heart was wide open, saying, I need to see. I want to see. And I'm just not interested in seeing butterflies and flowers. I want to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you come to this mountain and somehow this week catch a glimpse of the King, he'll blow through your life and you'll go off this mountain a changed individual, ready to go back to your school to be the man that you ought to be the leader you ought to be. I want you to understand he had a willingness to look beyond his obstacles, guys. Not only do we see this man as being physically blind, but we also see him as what? What kind of condition was he in economically? He was very poor. Why? What does it say about him? He was a beggar. He sat on the street corner, rattling a can. Obstacles in his life. Can I ask you something very personal right now? Right now, what is the obstacle in your life that is keeping you from being the kind of young man that will set a supreme example for your team this coming fall? What's the obstacle? Oh, listen, man, I like to hang out with my buddies and get drunk. What's the obstacle?
Oh, you know, hey, I like to puff on that weed every once in a while. What's the obstacle? Listen, I've got 5 or 6 gals lined up right now when I get back. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just, man, what is your obstacle? Well, you know, I hadn't got no mama and I hadn't got a daddy. My grandparents are raising me. What's your obstacle? My daddy's in prison. What's your obstacle? Nobody cares about me. I've had to just live the best I could from foster home to foster home to foster home. What's your obstacle? Bartimaeus was a blind man. Bartimaeus was financially completely destitute. He was a beggar. But you know what? He had a willingness in his life to what? Look beyond his obstacles. Listen to me. You've got to be willing to realize and size up your opponent and look beyond your obstacles if you're ever going to be a champion in the game of life. Second thing that you see about this guy was an incredible thing. As you read down through it, he heard with his ears and his heart was open wide that Jesus of Nazareth was coming through town. And you know what he'd heard about him? He was the baddest, most incredible individual on the planet. He could speak and folks could see. Woo! Boy, that set him on fire. He could touch and people that were physically disabled could get up and walk. Woo! Man, he'd heard that there were folks that had been living in bondage to demons. And all Jesus did was say, come out of that person. And he had to flee. Why? Because he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus was coming through town. So he got up from his begging stupor. And the Bible says this as you look with me. What does it say in verse 42 that he did when he heard that Jesus was coming down the road? He did what? He shouted out, didn't he? He yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And what did his buddies tell him to do? Be quiet. Shut up. Don't say, you are embarrassing me. I want you to understand something. If you don't think this now, you will think it before the end of the week. There's a group of guys back home that are going to tell you, man, you went off that FCA camp and you, Man, you got to settle down about this Jesus stuff. Man, you got to calm down. You don't need to be talking about this all the time. You talking about getting a team together and praying? Man, we don't want to get together and pray. We want to go out and get drunk. We want to go out and do things that we know we ought not to do. We just want to kind of live our own life. I want you to understand that this guy had a willingness not to follow the crowd. When his buddies told him to be quiet, what did he do? He shouted out what? Louder? Did he shout out louder? What does it say he did? He shouted out how? Louder. He didn't mind what his buddies had to say. You know why? Because he realized he wanted to be a champion. Not just a wimp. Not just a little old tutti-frutti, pansy-mansy, noodle-whipped individual. He wanted to be a man's man. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he was tired of everybody looking at him. He wanted to be the man on the corner of the street. He wanted to stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get back to that school, all of hell is plotting and planning and preparing to stumble you up. Every demon in hell is looking to cause you not to succeed. Guys, if you want to be a champion, you've got to have a willingness to look beyond your obstacles. You've got to have a willingness not to follow the crowd. The number one problem in your life today is that you just go along with everybody else. You hadn't got enough intestinal fortitude to stand on your own 2 feet. You follow somebody else. Listen to me. I'm looking in the face of champions. Not just any champion. I'm telling you guys, you've got it written across you. Unleash the power. Champions. Oh, listen, you want to win a championship on the gridiron? You're going to have to be willing to do some things that you've never done before in your life. You're going to have to pour your guts out when nobody else wants to pour their guts out. If you want to wear a ring on your finger, if you want to have more than one ring but multiple rings in your life, if you want to see championships on your hand, guys, you have to do some things that will absolutely transform your life. But I'm telling you now, there isn't a single ring that I've got in my trophy case that's going to give me 1 second in heaven. There is not a single trophy sitting in the trophy case in the high school where I played, where I participated in, not in 1, 2, 3, 4, but 5 state championship events, guys. There's not a single trophy in that trophy case that's going to give me 1 second in glory. I want you to know that my name is written on the wall of the stadium back home. But I'm telling you now, there isn't a young person in that town that knows who this old knucklehead cat is now. They may see his name up there and say, who in the world is that? Man, that was so long ago that it was ancient. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But I'm telling you something. If you die without Jesus and you slip into a devil's eternity, you will wish that you had said, I would have been champion in the game of life. And you would not have followed the crowd, but you would have said, enough is enough, and I'm going to live for Jesus from this day forward. Bartimaeus was that kind of guy. Woo! He was that kind of guy. And you know, as you look at that passage of Scripture, the Bible says that, hey, when he shouted a little louder, Jesus heard as he walked by, and he stopped. And in verse number 50, the buddies that told him to shut up turned to him and said, hey, you must have done something right. He said, come over here. And I want you to notice what had happened, guys. In verse number 50, we find this incredible picture. The Bible says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Do you know what that's a picture of? When he stood up, all of that tattered, torn lifestyle that he had been immersed in was about to leave him, and he threw that past of his life away that day. You see, if you want to be a champion, you got to have the willingness to put the past behind you. Some of you need to grow up tonight and say, I'm tired of blaming mom and daddy. I'm tired of blaming my uncle. I'm tired of blaming my aunt. I'm tired of blaming grandpa and grandma. I'm tired of blaming my coach. I'm tired of blaming my teammates. I'm tired of blaming everybody around me. I'm going to be a man for the first time in my life, and I'm putting the past behind me. I'm breaking every chain that has bound my family up. You know it, and I know it. You've got family members that are bound up in prisons all over the Southeast because they did not stop it. Stop it tonight. Stop it tonight. Throw the past away. Put it behind you. You want to be a champion? Oh, listen. You've got the playbook in front of you. Bartimaeus had a willingness to look beyond his obstacles. Couldn't see a lick with his eyes, but opened his heart. Bartimaeus had a willingness not to follow the crowd. Would you be that kind of guy? Bartimaeus had a willingness to put the past behind him. Guys, you've got an opportunity this week to put it behind you. I mean to absolutely unload it right here. I mean to put it in a place that you don't ever have to revisit it again. You can put the past behind you. But I want you to note the final thing that we see in Bartimaeus' life. You see, when Jesus said, come to him, he jumped up and went to him. Do you remember what he asked of Jesus that night or that day? He didn't ask Jesus for a plate of food. Did the Bible not say he was a beggar? Yeah, he was hungry. Could he have asked for a plate of food? Sure. Could have Jesus furnished him a plate of food? Sure. He didn't ask for financial wealth. He didn't shake his cup that day. He knew exactly what he needed. And what he needed was the ability to see. You see, he asked for the ultimate goal. Hang with me. Somebody's asleep by you, punch them in the side right now. Wake up. Don't go to sleep on me. Stay with me. Stay with me. You see, I want you to understand, Jesus, you don't want me coming down. I'm getting close. You don't want me walking. I mean, it'd be slobbery. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? The Bible says in verse number 51, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus told him, do what? You got it. Go your way. Go to kicking up dust. Chase after all the butterflies. Chase after all the flowers. Chase after all the pretty rainbows. Chase after all the beautiful colors. Chase after all the things that you've never saw with your eyes. But you see, Bartimaeus wasn't quite finished. He not only had a willingness to look beyond his obstacles. He not only had a willingness to not follow the crowd. He not only had a willingness. It's incredible. Don't miss this. To put the past behind him. But he had a willingness. The Bible says that when Jesus told him to go, he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. I want you to understand he had a willingness to follow Christ. He had a willingness to do that. And some of you tonight have got to make up in your mind if you're going to be that kind of person. If you're going to have that kind of willingness. If you're going to say, you know what? One day I'm going to stand before the grand reviewing stand. The fourth quarter of my life is going to come to an end. The horn is going to sound. And my dear friends, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised it in the morning. We're not promised midnight tonight. You have got to decide. Because I'm telling you, your heart is one beat away from you not being here. Don't miss that. You've got to have a willingness in your life to make up in your mind, if I am going to be the kind of man that wins a championship, and when I stand before the grand reviewing stand, it's not going to be me and a bunch of teammates standing there. It's going to be me and I. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to stand before the Father. And guys, here's the answer to your championship. He's going to say one or two things. Not... Man, you done good back there in those championship runs on that football field. Man, you done good back there in those championship runs on that baseball diamond. Man, you done... He's not going to say that to me. He's not going to say you spent all those hours away from your family riding with a bunch of football players all over the Southeast in this country seeing championships won. You've got rings to declare. He's not going to say that. He's going to say one or two things. He's either going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, or well done, thy good and faithful servant. Tim was an incredible young man, but Tim was raised in a home where mom and dad had no relationship to the Lord. None. Zero. Tim fell in love with going to church. And he got to go to church because there was a people in the community that loved him enough to run a bus by his house and pick him up. Some of you, yesterday, wee hours of this morning, got on a bus because somebody loved you enough. Tim had a bus run by his house Sunday after Sunday. Bus ministry. Tim was a product of bus ministry. Tim went to church eager to learn about God Almighty. Now, Tim didn't look like everybody else. Tim got himself up on Sunday morning and got ready to go to church. Mom wasn't around, Dad wasn't around. He got himself to get on the bus. His hair sometimes was matted down on one side because he'd just gotten out of bed. The clothes that he had on sometimes would be tattered and torn and stained from rough playing all day Saturday. But Tim went to church. He got to church and he began to listen, and man, he got so excited about church. And he began to wonder what took place at church on Sunday night, because most bus ministries don't run on Sunday nights. This particular Sunday, the preacher got up on Sunday morning and said, guys and gals and all of the bus ministry children, we're going to do something we've never done before. tonight we're going to run the bus and you can come back to church because we have a special speaker that's going to speak and share tonight and we want you to hear him. Guys, listen to me. Tim was absolutely hysterical inside. Sitting on the second row, he's white knuckling. He couldn't hardly stand it. He was going to get to come back on Sunday night. Church was over that Sunday morning. He got on the bus. He sat right behind the bus driver. Johnny Shelton, he grabbed that old rail behind that bus driver. And there wasn't any cushion on it in those days. It was just a solid metal rail. He white-knuckled that thing all the way home. He got off the bus and he looked back and said, "When will you be back to get me?" "About 4:30, son." He run in the house. He said, "Mom, I've got to have lunch right now." "Well, what in the world's wrong, Tim?" "I got to have lunch right now. The bus is coming back tonight. I don't want to miss the bus." Some of you may miss the bus. Some of you may not be willing to get on the bus. "I don't want to miss the bus tonight, Mama. Fix my lunch now, please, Mama." "Well, Tim, you need to get a bath. You need to clean." "Mama, I just want to eat lunch and get ready for the bus." He ate, got ready, finished eating, run back on the front porch and sat there 2.5 hours till the bus came. He heard the bus coming over the hill, and it was an old rattly bus. And it was rattling as it was coming by, and the windows was rattling, and the fenders were flopping. And he heard it coming. It pulled up in front of him, running, got up on the bus right behind the driver again. And he white-knuckled that metal rail. He went in church that night, guys, sat on the second row where he normally sits. There was a guy standing up, and he shared about how God had placed him on a foreign missionary field and how that church had helped him get there. And it was incredible. Folks were weeping. This guy was showing them pictures, PowerPoints like we see today of people by the scores of thousands in old rivers getting baptized and were being saved and won to the Lord. Churches being built, and it was incredible. People were being moved by what this guy had to say. Little Tim was sitting right there, white-knuckling the bench in front of him. Preacher got up after the guy finished and said, "It's been incredible tonight. And we want to do something we've never done before." Tim knew that word. That morning, what had he been told? "We're going to do something we've never done before. The buses are going to run tonight." He didn't miss the bus. He got there. "We're going to take up an offering tonight." An offering. Tonight. For this dear brother, so that maybe, I believe in my heart, the preacher said, we can build 5 more churches. I believe in my heart that we can see hundreds of campuses in the southeast turned upside down for Christ Jesus. But you've got to have some willingness in your life. Tim was sitting right there. And they started passing the offering plate. And when it got to Tim, he run his hand down in his left pocket and there was nothing there but a hole. Stay with me. He run his hand down in his right pocket. Nothing but a hole. He began to weep. Cry. He couldn't give anything. Passing. Folks putting dollar bills, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. They're just piling up money on the plate. Tim's sitting right there and he goes to, hysterically crying. He can't give anything. The ushers get to the back of the building and they start back down the aisle. The preacher had instructed them to bring the offering back to the front. They wanted to pray over it and ask God to use it, multiply it. They get right there. Right there. They get right there. On the second row, right here, Tim takes his arm, stops the usher. Usher's looking at Tim. Tim says, "Put the offering plate down on the floor. There's dollar bills, there's 20s, there's 10s, there's 5s on the offering plate." Usher says to himself, "I'm not going to do that. I would never do that." But a small, still voice whispered into the corridors of that usher's heart. He set that offering plate on the floor. Tim stood up, come out behind the offering plate, guys. Stood up and come out behind the offering plate. And with tears running down his face, the preacher standing up on the stage, he says to the preacher, "Tonight, I want to give an offering, but I don't have anything to give. I have empty pockets." But I realized as the offering plate was being passed that I had to give an offering. There are people dying and going to hell all over the world. I've watched him on the screen. I had to give an offering. Your teammates are dying and going to hell. Your teachers that love you and care about you and try to teach you are dying and going to hell. Your coaches are dying and going to hell. Your mamas and daddies are dying and going to hell. If you don't make up your mind to do what that little old boy did that night, you may slip into eternity with never another chance to do what's right. He looked at that preacher and he said, I'm going to give the greatest offering I've ever been able to put together, and I'm willing to give that offering so that thousands of people can come to the Lord, and the only offering I know how to give is myself. He picked up one foot and stepped in the offering plate. He picked his other foot up and stepped in the offering plate. And he says, I'm giving my life as an offering to God tonight. 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 Do you really want to be a champion in the game of life? Do you want to be? If you want to be a champion in the game of life, you've got to have a willingness. Not just to look beyond your obstacles. Not just to not follow the crowd. Not just to walk down through the middle of life. You have got to ultimately not just have the willingness to put the past behind you. You've got to have a willingness to follow Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. Right now, right where you're at. Right now, right where you're at. God has spoken into some of your hearts. Some of you thought about that offering. You're thinking, my gosh, I don't want my teammates to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to spend an eternity. I don't want to spend an eternity separated from God. I'm willing tonight to do what's right. The Bible says very clearly, Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised his son from the dead, you shall be saved. Guys, nobody's looking. There's no magical way. I can't offer you a prayer and that prayer just simply somehow or another transform your life. You've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to turn your heart over to God. You've got to be willing to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. You've got to be willing to say enough is enough. You've got to be willing to say, I don't just want Jesus as my Savior. I want Him as Lord, Master, King, and Head Coach of every area of my life. You've got to be willing to do that. And guys, tonight, we want to give you that opportunity. And so, guys, I don't know. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know how to pray like that. I've never done that before. I did read it in the Bible tonight about this guy that was willing to do all this stuff. I'd like to do that. Nobody's looking around. Hey, guys, it's just you and God right now. And I'm not going to offer up some kind of special prayer for you. But you can say to God, and if you mean business and you're sincere, and you say to God, God will come and transform your life tonight. You can say to God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I invite your son, Jesus, to be Lord and Savior, Master, King, and Head Coach of my life. And from this day forward, Father, I'm going to live for you. Thank you, Father, for sending your son to save me. Now, guys, if you want to pray a prayer like that, you can do that. Right where you're at. Nobody's looking around. You can do it right where you're at right now. I'm going to shut up, and I'm just going to listen. And if you want to pray, and the Bible says very clearly, you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart if you hope to be saved. It's confessing and believing. No other way, no magical way, that's got to happen. So right now, right where you're at, nobody's bothering you. You do that right where you're at if you want to do that. Guys, if you prayed that prayer, nobody's looking. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do something for me. You prayed that prayer, and you think, oh my. No, here's what I want to do to you. If you prayed that prayer and you meant business tonight, I want you simply to do this, okay? You meant business. This is the first time you've ever done that in meant business. First time. Not the 10th, 12th, 15th. First time you meant business. Here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to look at me and make eye contact with me. Just look at me. Don't say nothing. Just look at me, okay? I just want you to look at me. Don't put your head down. If you didn't pray that prayer, don't you raise your head. You keep your head down if you didn't pray that prayer. I don't want you looking at me. But if you prayed that prayer, I want you to look at me. Eyeball to eyeball, and you meant business. And I want to talk to you for a second or two. Son, you meant business? You understand what you just done? This is not a game. You understand? Good. You gave that offering tonight, didn't you? Good, son. You being real, son? Genuine. This is not a game. We're not playing a game in here. You understand what I'm saying? It's between you and God, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Great, man. Good, man. You meant business, son. It's no game. You realize what you've done. Good. Good. Got your head? Hey, you meant business, didn't you, son? You being real? You being truthful with me? Son, you looking at me? You being real? No game here. This is not a game, you understand? Nobody else looking around, just me and you. We talking back and forth. You being serious, aren't you, son? Straight up with me back there? Good, man. Good, man. Straight up with me, son. Being straight up with me. No game. This is not a game. Y'all understand that, right? We're not going through some kind of emotion here, and this is not again. This is you and God. You confessed your sins and said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Marvelous. Incredible. Been real, son? Absolutely. Straight up with me. No game. Straight up. Absolutely. Good, man. You gave that offering tonight, didn't you? Good, man. Been straight with me, aren't you, son? Good. You straight up, son? Good, man. No game. No game. No game. Straight up. It's in the game no more. You know what I mean? This ain't just going through the motions. It's real. Good, buddy. You guys right? You straight up with me, guys? Good. 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 You've been straight with me. Don't miss this. No game here. You understand? You got to give it all up to him. You understand me? You straight up back there, son? Good. Good. You looking at me, son? You straight up? Good. Good. No game, right, son? You know what you've done. Okay. Good, man. Good. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. You gave it up. Said, yes, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, right? Good. Good. Straight with me. Good, man. Good. If you didn't mean business, I don't want you to make eye contact with me. You're looking at me, aren't you, son? Good, man. Straight with me. Good. 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 You straight with me, son? Good. Good. Straight up with me. All you guys that looked at me, I want to talk to you for a second. Nobody else looking around. It's between us. You guys that looked at me. You realize where you got to get. You realize that. You got to give the greatest offering you've ever given. You said yes to Jesus. That's your offering tonight. Now you're beginning the journey. Nobody playing. Everybody's being real. Bow your heads. Pray with me one more time. Father, all across this building, incredible things happen in these young people's lives. Lord, I don't know. There might be a coach sitting back in the back and said, you know what? My gosh. You know, I've been going through this motion. I've been playing a game. I've been living a religious life. I'm a part of a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a full gospel church. I'm part of a Episcopalian, a Presbyterian. I'm part of a Catholic church. But I realize tonight, I want this thing that Bartimaeus had. He had a willingness in his life. I don't know, Father, but you do. They're back there. They want to say yes to you. God, may they do it tonight before it's over. And may they boldly, clearly shout it from the mountaintop tonight that they want you to be Lord of their life. Now, Father, I know that Satan would have this group not to respond like they ought to respond right now. Satan already trying to steal away. You lying, conniving scoundrel, you're bound from any influence about what's taking place here. You have no place. You have no right. You're through by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Tonight, Father, tonight, we've saw victory. Champions have been birthed into the playing field of the game of life. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Everybody looking at me. Nobody moving. Not a living soul moving. Here's what I want you to do. Those of you that talk to me, you know who you are. You know exactly who you are. Here's what I want you to do for me. If you meant business when you talked to me and you said you did, if you didn't, it's between you and God. You didn't. If you lied to God. You meant business. When I count to three, I want you to stand to your feet. Rest of you, if you didn't do that, don't you stand up. Don't you? If you didn't make eye contact with me, stay in your seat. If you made eye contact with me, I want you to stand to your feet on three. One, two, three, right now. Wow. Yeah, give it up for the Lord.